97.5 The Fanatic.
We're keeping you company on this Easter Sunday here at 97.5 The Fanatic. I'll be with you until noon today, and then I'll probably run home and see if I can see more golf highlights from previous Masters tournaments. Joining us now on the Comcast Business Hotline Beyond Fast is Rich Lerner of the Golf Channel, who would be in at Augusta National this week, would you not, Rich?
I would, Dee, but instead I'm in the back bedroom at 1865 East Adams Drive right now. Well, pillows strewn everywhere, but I do have a golf club in my hand. I have an old Mastodon. It's a blonde persimmon wood from probably 1989 that I had restored.
Wow.
And I'm amazingly good inside the house without a golf ball. Every shot goes 275 dead center.
You can vision. You can see it.
Yeah.
Yep.
Setup is good. I do have a couple of divots. Do not tell my wife. Divot out of the door, divot out of the ceiling. But we'll let that slide between you, me, and your audience.
All right, so let me ask you. Obviously, I was just talking a short while ago with Gary Williams, and he said you were the last one live on the Golf Channel on March 13th, and you delivered an essay. What was the tone of your essay?
Oh, gosh, I'm trying to think. What did I do on March 13th? I did something about the stoppages, and that, we're all going to be rethinking how we congregate,
yes.
Which we never really had to do, and that I thought we were going to really miss it terribly because, I mean, if you think about it, the games have always gone on. Right.
Yes.
And it's kind of surprising that due to world events, we haven't had more stoppages. This isn't unprecedented. If you go back to World War One, they shut down golf tournaments. Obviously, World War Two, and then for September 11th. But in general, sports is the way in which we demonstrate to ourselves and to the world that we will not be deterred,
right?
No matter what, life goes on, and it's where we go to, sort of share our collective grief and pain. You know, maybe you go to Yankee Stadium or in the aftermath at Citi Field of September 11th, where you stand and you cry and you sing the anthem. And then you say, damn it, we're going to get on with it because we're Americans and this is what we do. And, or in the case of golf, say after Payne Stewart passed away, we came together for a moment in Houston.
Yes.
But the games go on. And now, the games have completely stopped. And, I think there's the old cliche that it's not life or death, right? That puts whenever something happens in the world, and sportscasters will say, well, or an athlete will say, well, this certainly puts it in perspective.
Right.
Yes. Or you say there are more important things in life than just the game. True. But I think what everybody's sort of recognized is that while it's not life or death, it is an enormous and joyous part of life.
Yes.
Right. I mean, when we're living, We're going to ball games. We're talking to our pals about last night's Eagles game. You name it. I mean, it's where we bond with our family members, our brothers, and our friends. And now, look, maybe this time away from all of it has some people looking inward and looking at other ways. And maybe I spent too much time watching sports and not enough time sitting at the dinner table with my wife and my kids. Maybe I should read more books. Maybe I should go for more walks. Things like that. I mean, I think this is, it's been a reset button in that respect. But look, what we're talking about does come, I don't know where it falls in the pecking order right now, but yes, there clearly are more important things at the moment. People are going hungry right now. We have food lines. We have doctors and nurses without the proper equipment who are on the front lines of this battle. I mean, this is,
yes, serious stuff.
It is very heavy. But by the same token, sports employs an awful lot of people.
Yes.
So without these games,
a lot of people are affected. It's a domino effect. A lot of people are affected.
And what are you hearing, Dee, in Philly? What are you hearing, seeing, and feeling?
I was saying earlier that I would say this past week, the wearing masks when people leave the house is becoming more and more commonplace. And, you know, it's not mandatory. It is mandatory if you take public transportation here and and to go into supermarkets or pharmacies, whatnot. But there are still people on the street, not a lot. I think people are out trying to get a walk in, like you said. I walk more the city blocks now and not like along the Schuylkill River because that looked a little too crowded for me at some points. So, but you can find your ways. And I think people are very respectful of what's going on. I do find our city to be good in that regard. So I'm curious because you grew up in Allentown. Were you a Philadelphia sports fan?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, the first, since you asked, the first couple of teams that I loved were far from Philadelphia, although I lived in Allentown. My grandmother lived in Minneapolis, Minnesota, and the first trip I ever took, first airplane I ever got on, back when they smoked cigarettes on airplanes, was a trip to go visit her in Minneapolis, and I got in an elevator in her apartment building, and I was standing next to Rod Carew.
Oh, wow.
One of the great contact hitters of all time. So I was a Twins back when they had Harmon Killebrew and Rod Carew, a Twins and Vikings fan back near the Purple People Eaters with Bud Grant and Carl Eller and Alan Page and guys like that. But then, obviously, over time, the other team was the Dodgers because my grandfather had a baseball signed by Sandy Koufax, and he gave it to us. So whatever, we were Dodger fans in the 60s playing wiffle ball and sliding bases in the backyard of Glenwood Street in Allentown. But then it was Phillies, yes. I went to the first game. It was at Connie Mack Stadium. Johnny Callison was playing right field. I remember that. The Phillies weren't very good. But then I went to Temple, and you know there were some great teams, Mike Schmidt, and then you know, obviously Pete Rose, and I remember Steve Carlton with the nastiest slider. I still think that had to be, you know, with a Nolan Ryan, Randy Johnson fastball, that Steve Carlton's slider had to be as unhittable a pitch as has ever been unfurled in baseball history. And I was a huge Sixers fan. I danced on Broad Street when Mo and Doc and Andrew Toney and two Mo's, Mo Cheeks and Moses Malone,
sure,
who was one of my favorite players ever, won the NBA title, danced on Broad Street. We got a little crazy there. And obviously, when the Eagles won the Super Bowl, and beat the, it didn't just beat anybody, they beat the evil empire to win the Super Bowl. That was a great moment. I'm still an Eagles fan. I'm friendly with Dave Spadaro, Mr. Eagle, and Merrill Reese. Yeah, Merrill's a friend, and great affinity. I mean, I grew up going to Big Five basketball games, and I just did a St. Joe's game, and so you know, St. Joe's against George Mason, and you know, it's a rebuilding period for the Hawks, and I do like Billy Lang. But obviously, you know, I thought about 1981, D. Come on. I thought about Brian Warwick to John Smith.
You left out Lonnie McFarlane in the corner, then John.
And I mean, how about the team they beat? I mean, they beat Mark McGuire, Terry Cummings, Skip Money Dillard, Ray Myers. Were you there? Was that you?
That was me, Rich. That was me.
Yeah, and that was back before the that was back before a shot clock. They played four out, didn't they? They played
four corners. Yep, they corners. Which Phil Ford made famous with North Carolina. But yes, that's what that group did. And Brian Warwick was one of the guards, but Jeffrey Clark was another one. Brian was the one on that final play. But they executed the four corners quite a bit.
Yeah, do you know who was on the call of that game? This is an interesting bit of sort of Philly you probably know.
I should know this.
Connected trivia.
Go ahead, let me hear.
The great Don Crickey was on the call game.
Yep.
And he was on the call for another sort of Philly miracle. The miracle at the Meadowlands, if I'm not mistaken.
Wow.
So Don, think about that. Don Crickey. I mean, because St. Joe's beating DePaul was one of the true electric Philadelphia sports moments, right?
Sure, because it was still a Cinderella kind of story. I mean, obviously, Villanova winning two national championships recently. I mean, they have the other one in 85, but, those all resonate with people in this city for sure.
Here's a couple of crazy thoughts for Philadelphia sports fans. And I've batted this around with some friends. Nick Foles.
Yes.
Is Nick Foles, I know it was one magical run, really a three-game run, but is Nick Foles a top 10 all-time Philadelphia legend?
Oh, gosh, yes. I mean,
top five. Considering...
Yeah, no, I realize what you're saying. They have
the one prize that Philadelphia fans wanted above all else. The World Series...
And
is he top five? And do you somehow get a statue of Foles somewhere? Seriously,
he does have a statue. That's the amazing thing.
All right,
yeah, and he's he's not even there anymore. Playing still in the league, and the statue is there. Believe me, it's been batted around a lot in this city. But yes, I would hands down.
How about Jalen Brunson?
No,
Villanova, right?
Yeah. No, I know because
here's the question: is he all time Big Five? Is he on your first five all time Big Five?
That becomes more difficult just because five and you're talking about five schools. I don't, I'd have, that takes a little more work out of me there, Rich, than on the fly to be able to answer.
Yeah, you can't answer it on the fly.
Yeah.
He won two NCAA titles.
Oh, yeah, no, I understand. Yeah, absolutely.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, do you bump a Michael Brooks, a Lionel Simmons, a Kenny Durrett? Do you bump?
You're bringing up some big names. There's been a lot of great names that have come through this city playing basketball for sure.
Rogers.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Guy Rogers. I don't know. I mean, anyway, those are some fun Philly things. I think about. I miss basketball in Philadelphia for sure.
Rich,
we haven't talked a lot of golf yet, have we? I mean, good luck.
Well, let me ask you this. Well, maybe because you needed a breather from your job. I don't know.
Thank you, Dee.
Because you do different roles. So, I call you you run the traffic with your on set people. You make sure everybody gets their time. As you say, you write great essays. And
thank you.
Do you have a role that you prefer more so? Because I get asked this too, than the others. Or do you love that you get to be a multiple faceted journalist?
Yes. I love to be able to play multiple positions. I love doing play by play of a golf event. I love doing play by play of college basketball. That's a kick. But the a live event unfolding over 4 days, and when you get to Sunday afternoon, and it's unfolding, it's exciting, and but I would say where I'm probably most comfortable is on the set of Live From. That's kind of been home for me, and that's our College Game Day. That's our Ernie Johnson
inside
the NBA.
That's kind of
home for me, I'm comfortable there. But I love the chase of writing an essay on the fly as the tournament's coming to an end and trying to beat the deadline and get ready for the show to host. That's an adrenaline kick for sure.
I love that people do still use the phrase, not very often, but essay. And I'll be curious if you, the first person I really remember that resonated with me in terms of golf essays was a gentleman by the name of Jim Huber. Do you recall him from CNN?
Gosh, yeah, Jim Huber was wonderful. Yeah, soft-spoken, sweet man. Jim Huber with a mustache.
Yep.
Died too young.
Yes.
Yeah, I worked at events early in my career with Jim, and he was a wonderful human being and a lovely writer. Jack Whitaker.
Whitaker, I brought up earlier today, too. Yeah, he was
Philadelphia.
Awesome.
Yeah, yeah, Philadelphia. And he's got his start in Pottsville. And, you know, the other thing
he
I
went to St. Joe's. I never knew that.
I didn't know that Jack went to St. Joe's.
Jack went to St. Joe's, I believe, 1947.
How about how many great Jacks? We had Jack Whitaker, Jack Ramsey, Jack McKinney.
Yes.
All from
St. Joe's. Hawk Hill. Absolutely.
On Hawk Hill.
Yes.
And now you're making me want to run up to Delisandro's to get a cheese. I'm so far from a Delisandro's here. The other thing I enjoy doing is the long feature stories. Those are, those are shot, you know, we shoot them and you go do an interview and then you, over a couple of months, you try to bring home a 7-8 minute piece. And we just did one on, I don't know if you saw it at the Players, on this guy, Nate Lashley. Lashley won the PGA Tour event in Detroit last summer.
Okay.
But 36 years old, he was an alternate. He was 300 and something in the world. You'd never heard of him.
Right.
But what made his story amazing is that when he was in college at the University of Arizona in 2004, so a pretty long time ago, he was playing an event in Oregon, NCAA event, and his parents came to watch, and then they flew home on a small private plane with his girlfriend, and the plane crashed in Wyoming, and they all died. And so he set out on this journey to try to get well and figure out what he wanted to do. He played the mini tours, he left golf, sold real estate, and then eventually he just kind of said to himself, one point, what would my parents want? They'd want me to keep playing. And so he kept pushing and pushing and pushing and ended up winning on the PGA Tour. And so those are the sorts of stories that you get a chance to do in any sport, as you know.
Because it's about the people. Absolutely.
It 100% is, yeah. Otherwise, because there's just so much sports on now.
Mm-hmm.
I would say we're the network of the well-struck 7-iron. You want to see a 7-iron hit properly, tune into the Golf Channel, you know. But otherwise, you know, it's just a lot of that. There's nothing wrong with that. But you want to know who are these people.
I think they
have lives.
I know. But we fight it because of everything is told in 140 characters too often anymore.
That's the truth. Tell me what's happening in Philly's sports once we get back. Are they going to be able to live with Embiid and Simmons on the same team?
Yes, I believe
that's premature, isn't it? It's a little premature to break that up.
Yeah. I think I was just reading an article and about, you know, if you go to another city, but like the Lakers being in first place when this all shut down, LeBron's not getting any younger. And if they don't have an opportunity, but it's like you can find something with each team in the league that this has affected them. I mean, it's affected everybody. You know, look at the Masters not taking place, and we're going to see the Masters in November if all can return at some point for a first time. So, but there's just so many interesting things. And the Embiid Simmons is definitely, and the other was, there was so much heat on a Brett Brown, you know, not having done enough. And I see that has completely gone away. So I think everything will come back as constructed whenever they do play basketball again here. And then, you know, I guess you're still on all three of them. I call them and Elton Brand. They're all kind of on a hot seat together. And
I would agree with that.
Yeah. But I would say usually the coach goes first. So the pressure is first for him. But he's known that. And he deals with that pretty well, I think. And obviously the other two, you know, they're both still have a good chunk of their contract that you wouldn't move them right now. So we'll see. But I'll just be grateful to see basketball, you know, Rich?
Yeah, we all would. I miss getting up and popping the iPad open and checking to see if Jay Crowder went 3 of 7 from the floor.
exactly.
How many rebounds did Eddie Davis grab last night?
Right.
You know, I mean, I'm a box score lover to kill some time. I like to read golf leaderboards from the bottom up.
So, Rich, let me ask you real quick.
Yeah, go ahead.
Before you go. So, because a lot of those shows were based on, you know, it's covering tournaments. What you can do the essays. Anything you shot before, you can still be working on as features, long features.
Yeah.
But what else can you, even that, I don't know, can you do it from home?
Well, yeah, we can. They have been Gary Williams and Carl Banks and
I've
Ryan
seen.
Burns.
Oh yeah, no, I've seen Gary
been,
on
they,
the.
Yeah, they've been doing updates from home, and I did those. Feature stories. We did that show where I shot some stand-ups at a local club maybe 3 weeks ago for the Masters week. And otherwise, I've got some stories outstanding that I'm working on. So I've been writing and... You're missing the Masters. Look, but today the re-years have been great.
They are. They've been tremendous.
Mickelson in 2004, and yep. I watched DeMarco take Tiger to the wire in 2005, and a couple things quickly stood out. One, when DeMarco made birdie at 11. And by the way, DeMarco won the old Pennsylvania Classic. I think he won it at, I want to say, at Waynesboro. Check that out. So he has a link to PA. But when he made the birdie at 11 to draw to within one, the walk from 11 green to 12 tee. If you get a chance today,
go look at
when
it.
They show.
Just, all right. I will.
At any Masters, they'll give you that wide shot.
Okay.
And the patrons on the bank there behind 12 tee. It is the I think one of the great single visuals in sports. And then 12, the par 3, which was momentous last year with Koepka and Finau and Molinari all having hit it in Race Creek. That is like an oil painting. It doesn't seem real. And it is as beautiful, if you've never been there, it is as beautiful in person as it looks on television. And then, you know, I mean, today you'll get a chance to see Tiger and relive it all over again. As I said last year, he stretched the meaning of sports immortality on that day as if he hadn't done enough before. I mean, he's the single most mind-blowing athlete I've ever seen, but he kind of crawled through a painfully human stretch, right, to get back to where he was last year. And there's no single shot that is particularly memorable. What stands out about last year, obviously, is the hug with his son, Charlie.
Yes.
22 years after he hugged his own father.
Yep.
So there's no, there are very few athletes that I can think of. Maybe Muhammad Ali would be in this category, who are as capable of greatness as fascinating today as they were 25 years ago.
Sure.
Tiger has captivated the public's imagination for a quarter of a century.
That is true.
And he's still capable of greatness. And, you know, I mean, it's a three volume book. It's The Godfather, you know, it's one and two. I mean, and it's ups, downs, tremendous setbacks and then an all time comeback.
Rich, I appreciate your time. Enjoy the rest of your Easter Sunday.
Yeah, I enjoy talking to you. Enjoy your Easter Sunday. Best to all your viewers. I always love coming back to Philly. That's Philly Allentown. That's home for me.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Rich Lerner with us on the Comcast Business Hotline, Beyond Fast. 25 years of Tiger. It's true. 25 years worth of him. We'll come back and we'll talk some Masters. We'll also look at some of this basketball stuff that I mentioned that has crossed just some articles today on Twitter. You're listening to 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic.
This weekend's programming is brought to you by BetRivers.com. Head over to BetRivers.com to play real money casino games from the comfort of your home. Slots and table games like blackjack, roulette, and more. Visit BetRivers.com today and have a little fun. Online casino represented by Rivers Casino Philadelphia. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. So I was mentioning some of the news, not a ton of sports news these days, but one of the things, Mark Cuban was interviewed on one of the Sunday morning shows, and I thought one of his quotes, which is now the headline of an article about the interview, was, "When scientists say it's safe for my employees to go back to work, that's when I'll feel confident." And later, when he was asked, do you think the NBA season will eventually be able to be played? He didn't want to make predictions, but he does think that when they play, that it won't be in front of fans, that initially it will be for TV cameras and essential personnel and players. And so I think, just when I see Cuban's name, that means those conversations have been happening. And the reason I say that, I think they are putting in place the different layers of bringing sports back. And that would be, you know, when he says it, then that means it's definitely talked about. But then that goes back to what a different feel it will be. But I think at first, people just want to see sporting events. I saw on Twitter that a basketball game was played in Taiwan today. Did you see that? Yeah. Which we'll see what happened. But it definitely, I should see who posted it. And if that's the case, we keep hearing that South Korea is going to have baseball. Taiwan. I'll see if I can find it. But because initially, the Chinese Basketball League was going to play games, and then they pushed that back, probably because there was a lot of attention that would have been on that. But yeah, I do believe that there was a game that played in Taiwan, and if, to my recollection, that would be the first of any live sporting event that's been played in the world that we've seen, unless something's happening in a smaller part of the world that isn't being televised. This was actually on TV, but I mean, it's a contact sport and there were highlights of it. So, yeah, these are interesting times. I am now going to go and look a little more with a keen eye of, I am going to watch the Tiger from last year because it's on at 12:30, but that walk, did he say it was from 12 to 13? No, 11 to 12 T. Yeah, I'll have to look at that. Now, once you hear people that tell you who have been there to look for certain things, oh, the other would be, well, that par three, that it is as beautiful in real life. And he is right. It does look like an oil painting. It's so, you would think, too, it does almost look like there's some kind of lens that allows for Augusta National to look as pristine in every shot. The other thing you never see, and this I have been told is true, there's never a piece of trash anywhere. And I don't, you know, maybe because everybody doesn't have their cell phone out, they're being conscious of the put the trash in the trash can, those kind of things. Yeah, what a walk back in time it would be just to experience something where it does have your undivided attention for the, you know, 4 hours that you would be there watching the tournament. And I would definitely, I've gone to one major, one, Maybe a couple. Yeah, I have gone to a couple, but that I enjoy following with the lesser crowds, and I do like walking the course. I think, you know, I understand people who sit in the stands and watch just, you know, if you're at 18 or whatever. But I liked following maybe some of the lesser names so that you can actually get a good view of trying to see people on the course, because I like seeing how their preparation is. It's just interesting. I did that at Marion, and I did get to follow Ricky Fowler for a little bit. That was kind of fun. And at Whistling Straits, when the PGA Championship was up there, I was fortunate to be able to be with friends who had been working in the Turner TNT's booth, because they're on Sunday now, they're done, and because one of the networks take it over, so that booth is still there but empty, and it overlooked at Whistling Straits the 9th and 18th green, both of them right there. So it was cool because you constantly saw people coming throughout the day. So that day I didn't walk around as much because I had a good seat, why not use it? So, I also think when you've seen a place in person, like I had Marion, to then see it hosting a tournament of that magnitude was pretty cool also. And coming up, I might be this, the PGA Championship, I believe, is going to Los Angeles Country Club. And that hasn't been... I'll have to go and look at the history, but I know that it's not very often that it's done that. And so I'll be interested because I have been there, and to then see that on TV would be pretty cool.
Yeah, you know what I think is one of the big crimes of golf, especially in like the modern age? It's crazy because everyone talks about Augusta, just going back to the Masters, mm-hmm. and the elevation change and how the greens are so bumpy. How have they not come up with a way for us to see that better on television?
I know. We talk about it all the time with 4D and everything. People shoot in 4D, 4G, something like that. That how do we not have that dimensional? And then they try to do the graphics that mimic it. But
they don't give it justice.
No, they don't. They don't. You're right.
Seeing guys line up on like a 45-degree angle to the hole.
Yep.
And you always get explained. The play-by-play announcers do a great job of telling you. Yeah, this is he's going to aim this way. He's not hitting a trick shot. It's going to roll
break.
Back. But
yeah.
To be able to see that, it's crazy that they haven't figured that out yet.
That was the other thing that was crazy about the 2004 with Phil Mickelson was when DeMarco's shot comes out. And then he ends up with the putt slightly further away than Phil and gives Phil the perfect read. I mean, it almost seemed like they couldn't happen like that. And then DeMarco misses his. And now Phil's just catches the lip. It goes around about 75% of the cup before it, you know, goes in. It's taken a lap almost. But to be able to get that read off of Chris DeMarco was pretty interesting on that one. Yeah. We love these golf days that we had that we're missing right now. But November's, it'll come. It'll come somewhere down the line. What will be the first of the majors then, since the Open is out, meaning the Open, we call it the British Open, but so the U.S. Open and the PGA, one of the two of them, I guess, will be the first, and the Masters will wrap it up in November. I should have looked at that. I saw them yesterday posting what the new schedule looked like, but they're constantly having to adjust it because of not being open, meaning society not being open. So some of these have been rescheduled for down the line so that you can plan for it, and then some will be canceled. I do look and see when those tournaments will be, and you know, when will we be seeing something of that ilk.
Yeah, it looks like the first one's going to be the PGA Championship in August, from the 3rd till the 8th.
Where is that? Is that LA?
That one's going to be in San Francisco at TPC Harding.
Oh, okay. I wonder when LACC is getting that. I have to see. I'm going to find that out because I know it's a big deal that they're going to actually host it because they've said no a ton and they're going to do it. And the LACC is right off Wilshire Boulevard. And I went to school right up the road at UCLA, and that's just an amazing property there. I'll check that out. All right, 610-632-0975. We got a little time still together. You're listening to 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Oh, still morning on this Easter Sunday. Hope everybody is doing all right, enjoying maybe some fresh air. I had a couple friends send me pictures of their kids finding eggs in their backyard. That's fun. The one says, "You're never too old to search for hidden eggs." And yeah, you aren't. And it's fun just to be together as minimal as you can. And so that's what I'm going to do later today. And I'm going to cook a ham for dinner for our family of four. We've been talking a lot of golf because it is Masters weekend. And it coincided with just talking about different traditions. And nothing says tradition to me more than the Masters at Augusta National. But we'll switch gears and we'll check in with Mitch. Mitch, how are you? Happy Easter. Thanks for calling The Fanatic. How are you?
Good, I think. Happy Easter. D, thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, no problem.
It's like we're all sent to a prison. I don't know. It could be another 5 months to a year. It's late.
If you think of it like that, you got to just kind of do short weeks or like think for a week and then another week. You know what I mean?
Oh, day by day.
That's true.
I always say time flies, but it's not. A fine to the cure, that'd be great, but apparently not. You know, I kept the old paper when Kobe passed away, he got killed tragically, and passed away is not the truth.
Yeah.
Was on the USA page January 28th, and the corona was just a side note. They were saying there was 100 cases in 26 states. They were warning people not to go to China and back. But, you know, a fearless leader has no clue, so he knew no more than I did back then, or who knows. But I'm sorry. I only told my property about Owen Wilshire. I read a lot of the LA Times, and they're backwards. They have to spend, they're spending billions of dollars on subways, if you believe it or not, you know. I guess it's earthquake proof.
Huh. I don't know.
You should see, I haven't been there in years, and I don't think I'll be going on a plane anytime soon. But they're spending money on transportation because it's car heaven over there. The cars are kings, and which I'm glad I have two cars. Okay. Anyway, first with the Eagles.
Yes.
Do you think they go first two rounds wide receivers that's being aggressive? Because Nelson and Matthews gave us 6 years combined. I'm thinking that we get two good wide receivers.
Well, hopefully they start with getting one, though a lot of the mock drafts do not have them taking a wide receiver at 21. So,
wow.
I know. But, I mean, look, we still have another, it's the 23rd, today's the 12th, so we still have 11 more days of mock drafts. Not that they do them every day, and very little information is changing. So, we'll see what happens. But that I will tell you that they will get a receiver for sure, maybe multiple, but that they are a number of mock drafts out there that have them, even linebacker.
Wow. Okay, so it's 11 days, can't wait, but, you know, it's day by day. And one more thing, another fellow, I'm sure you heard of it. Tim Brown, the actor. He was in MASH the first year of the show, then he was written off. He's been in Adam 12, Dragon.
Yeah, he passed this week.
I didn't know he had played 10 years with the Eagles, Colts, and the Packers, won a couple of, rings.
He played 8 years with the Eagles, and I'm trying to think. I know he was a three-time Pro Bowler. Now, whether they were all when he was an Eagle, I don't know. But, yeah. I think I had some of his stats. Let's see. Sixth on the franchise's all-time list for touchdowns. He had 62. Seventh in total yards from scrimmage, which over 7,000. Eighth in rushing yards, which was 3,700. And seventh in rushing touchdowns, which was 29. Yeah.
So you're great. He had five singles.
I didn't know. I had no idea that he was on the original MASH, though.
Yeah, you know, he always looked, he always had a good physical appearance, physical build there. And what's even kind of sad, I think, after his acting and playing career, of course, he started acting sort of toward the end of his career. He became a correction officer out there in Los Angeles.
Huh.
I don't know how long he did it. I mean, I only know, I mean, that just shows you how much money the athletes today and the actors make.
Right.
You know, once you get a couple, you don't do it.
Yeah, sure. That's a totally different time frame, though, because he was in the 1960s, right? Yeah.
Right. And I'm sure he had the civil rights issues and all that stuff. The only person I know that has stepped out of the sports, and I think he just did, maybe challenged himself. He's a funny Shaq. When I read about it, he became a sheriff. I don't know, was just to get a license. What would he want to put himself to that? That trouble, but we need good people to be police officers and firemen. I'm not saying that, of course. But Shaq being a sheriff,
yes,
I'd love to see it.
No, I'm saying we saw that. Well, right, I see what you're saying. Whether you would do it in real life, I don't know. But yes, I see what you're saying. Mitch, I appreciate the phone call.
You have a nice week.
You do the same. Thanks for calling the Fanatic. Yeah, Shaq's a sheriff. He's flashed his badge for sure. Yeah, so that was former Eagle Timmy Brown. He passed away at 82. I know I read it this week. Let's see. That the article was on April 7th, and so a couple days ago. But those are some impressive numbers. It's interesting how, with the passing of time, that's why even when we were talking to Rich Lerner and you say, you know, would you put this player in the top five here? Unless you do windows, it's very difficult to just pick small numbers. I mean, that guy's numbers with the Eagles are really impressive, you know? But because it happens in, you know, the 1960s and we're now in 2020, you know, it's easy for... I mean, I had two guys on yesterday, Johnny Dawkins and Hersey Hawkins, who were the backcourt of the Sixers in the late, I think it was the 89-90 and then the early 90 seasons, like the three really good teams in a row. But, you know, Hawk and Doc might mean nothing to a lot of people who, you know, aren't old enough. I'm somebody who does like to go and read up. For instance, like I don't remember that 1986 Masters that I was talking about with Jack Nicklaus, who was 46 years old and won it that year. And that was impressive. And yesterday when Phil was talking, by the time they play the Masters in November, he'll be 50. And if he were able to win, he'd be the oldest to win the Masters. So, but I didn't recall all that had happened in that 86. And I loved reading the 98 Sunday is arguably, that's when Mark O'Meara won. They say had some of the most spectacular Sunday Masters golf that you could have in one day of drama, of looking at that leaderboard. I did yesterday when I was watching the 04, because I think he seems like such a nice guy. I did feel for Ernie Els waiting. He's on the range, and then he's practicing putting, and then you hear the roar, and poor guy just has to pack his bags and say, oh, well, maybe next time. But those are some of the fun things. And I think kind of that's what we were trying to get at with baseball and golf. There's more time to experience the storytelling because of the nature of the way the sport is played. And because golf is individual, you know, the storylines do tie other things in, but you got to reach a little further, you know? And I think especially during the majors, because they put a lot of time and money into them, that that's one of the things that I think I miss of not being able to sit down, because you do get some great stories. Even when the story that Rich Lerner told us about the guy who stayed persistent and finally won a PGA event and had been ranked 300 and something at the time. You know, that's remarkable stuff. So, and we can find great stories in all of sports. You know, that's when we talk about March Madness and, you know, the Villanova teams that we've recently been celebrating because of the time of year that it is. But, and, you know, the beginning of the baseball season would have brought new storylines into it. But we just don't have anything new right now, except for in Taiwan. They're playing basketball. We don't know who they are, but they're playing. Connor Thomas has been helpful for me today. He's the man with two first names. That's how I remember his name. Connor, thank you. Enjoy the rest of your Easter Sunday. And the rundown for the rest of our Sunday here at the Fanatic. Tyler Zuli's coming up next, and then Pat Egan before we go into syndication at 8 o'clock. And then, of course, the morning show will be back tomorrow, 6 a.m. I'll be back next week on Saturday and Sunday. I'm trying to think of what next. Oh, well, next week, you know what? I am going to be, I'll be able to say two things. What the horse contest looks like, I'm going to give a review of that. And I am going to pay attention because I have a local person who will get selected in the WNBA draft. And her father was a first-round NBA selection. So I'm going to be curious to see where she went. And I want to see how they pull off with everybody being in their own separate places, because it'll give us a hint of how the NFL will look. And then the NFL will be televised for days, 23rd, 24th, 25th. I mean, I would imagine people will be glued to that just because, one, it gives them hope that their team's coming up, season will come up. So those are our next 10 days of things we have to look forward to. Thanks for the time, people. I appreciate the conversation. Thank you to Gary Williams and Rich Lerner, both of the Golf Channel, being on the Comcast Business Hotline Beyond Fast. I am Dee Lynam. I'll see you next week, and have a great and safe week.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.